From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the MBTA continues an investigation into a Green Line trolley collision that sent four operators to the hospital. The incident comes less than a year after a Green Line trolley collided with another last July, and one of several incidents to occur since that time, calling the T's safety into question.
I know these incidents are disturbing. To no one is it more disturbing than those of us who work here at the T, who are committed to keeping the system as safe as we can be.
Boston Globe transportation reporter Taylor Dolvin has been covering the T through many of these incidents and is here with us today to help us understand what's going on. Taylor, despite these circumstances, it's very exciting to have you here. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about this latest incident on the Green Line.
So we don't know a whole lot yet. We know that last Wednesday, a Green Line trolley carrying about 20 to 25 people crashed into a empty Green Line trolley that just had operators on it that was entering service near Government Center. And so four trolley operators had to go to the hospital after the crash. And it happened late in the evening, around 9:30 p.m.
Did the T determine the cause of the crash?
Not yet. So they have said they're looking into everything. They immediately were able to rule out the track and the trolleys themselves being a problem. Mm-hmm. And they're also looking at human error, but they haven't said why the trains crashed together yet.
So now this is the second time in a year that there has been a collision on the Green Line. And in your reporting, you found a federal agency recommended a system to prevent crashes 13 years ago, and the agency did not follow through. Now, T General Manager Steve Povtak says he wishes that was not the case.
I surely wish it had been installed much sooner. It would have avoided the train on train that we had in August, and it likely would have avoided this accident.
So, and I think Povtak was referring to the accident that occurred on the Green Line in late July of last year. But anyways, why didn't the T implement that recommendation? Is the T doing anything now?
So the T is actually in the process of putting this anti-collision technology in place, but it's taken a long time. And as Povtak said, longer than the T would have liked. Mm-hmm. I think the cost of the technology that the federal government recommended back in 2009 was a big factor. The T decided it was too expensive back in 2012, and they're actually going with an alternative technology that they say will be just as effective at preventing crashes on the Green Line. But they didn't award the contract for that until 2019. And so now the technology is expected to be, they say it will be in place by the end of 2023, which is actually a year ahead of what they originally estimated. So they're trying to speed it up. It's been a really long time that they've taken to get this into place. And, you know, meanwhile, we keep seeing Green Line crashes.
Well, better late than never, I guess. The Federal Transit Administration is conducting a safety inspection of the T following a series of incidents, perhaps most notably the death of 39-year-old Robinson Lallon, who was dragged to his death on the Red Line. Can you tell us about this federal inspection?
So what we know so far is that the Federal Transit Administration has only conducted one other safety inspection like this.
Wow.
Of a local transit agency. So this is only the second time they've kind of intervened on the local level in this way. The last time was of Washington, D.C.'s transit agency back in 2015. After that inspection, the FTA actually ended up taking over direct safety oversight of that transit agency for several years. So we don't yet know what they'll find with the T, but we know that this is really rare.
One other time. That's wild, wild. And, you know, how are riders reacting to all of this?
Riders are frustrated. You know, most people know that riding public transit is much safer than riding in a car. But people still expect to get to where they're going safely and reliably. And so these incidents especially the really horrific ones like the Red Line death of Robinson Lallin in April are really scary for people and have a ripple effect through the whole community. I think, you know, that person's family is directly impacted, obviously, and everyone who rides that line is impacted for a certain amount of time. So I'm just hearing a lot of frustration from riders.
Yeah. And with that said, you know, how are elected officials responding? I mean, Steve Poftak has the answer to someone, right?
Yeah. So he answers to the governor. And what Governor Baker has said is that he welcomes the FTA safety inspection of the T. He thinks it's a good thing that the T can, you know, learn from the federal government to a certain degree. But I haven't seen a lot of action on T safety from elected officials. The leaders of the Joint Committee on Transportation in the legislature are taking a real hands-off approach. You know, they just tell me they're monitoring the inspection, but not a whole lot of action so far.
Well, switching gears a little bit, like me, you're new to Boston and the T. How does this agency differ from other transit systems for you? And does any of this seem foreign to you?
Yeah, we both are new to Boston. I'm also new to transportation, so it's sort of all new to me. But I do try and reach out to other transit agencies across the U.S. when I'm writing about the T, just to see how they handle similar situations and kind of to figure out if the T is unique in any way or doing something different. But I think so far I've just been really surprised about the safety incidents themselves. It's really hard to understand, especially after in 2019 when the T was audited by a group of outside safety experts and they came up with dozens of recommendations about how to improve safety at the T. And now in 2022, you know, the T says that they've completed most of those or they're working on completing most of those. And we're still seeing these really serious safety incidents. So I think that's been really surprising for me.
Yeah, for me, I find that the system is very ambitious with some of its goals. I'm thinking of, you know, it's partnering with the city for the free fares on the 3 bus lines, you know, updating its fare system. But the safety incidents really get in the way of really understanding that progress. But anyways, Taylor, you're new to Boston, new to transportation. You're crushing it. So thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us. This has truly, truly been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Boston Globe transportation reporter Taylor Dolvin. Before we go, here's what else is going on. Boston Mayor Michelle Wu wants state lawmakers to advance her proposed tax on big commercial real estate projects in the city. It would add a 2% fee to deals that exceed $2 million, as well as target property tax relief for Boston seniors. Wu says the fee would affect only a small fraction of real estate projects.
Allowing the city of Boston the flexibility at the local level to raise revenue will immediately give us the tools to address our urgent housing challenges.
The mayor's housing chief says the city is also spending federal funds to curb the housing crisis, but needs more consistent funding. This fee would raise up to $100 million a year. The legislature has power to approve or reject the idea, and not everyone is on board, including Governor Baker and some in the real estate industry. Meanwhile, as many as 2 million people may have had their personal data compromised by a cyber attack on Shields Healthcare Group in Quincy. That includes names, social security numbers, and medical information. The local healthcare group says it discovered suspicious activity on its network on March 28th. The company plans to notify people impacted once it completes its review. And finally, the Boston Arts Commission has chosen an artist to paint a new permanent mural in Austin honoring Rita Hester. Hester was a transgender woman whose 1998 murder launched the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which takes place annually on November 20th. The artist Rixie spent time with Hester's family and friends reading her poetry and learning about her favorite spots in the city before visiting the wall she will be painting.
I finally went and did a site visit, and it's just like the most beautiful spot. Like, that's really important for me before doing murals. Before doing the sketch, actually, I did that too. Like, just showing up, sitting there for a little bit, and just, like, trying to see how the energies are. Is it comfy? Who's looking at this wall?
Rixie will begin painting the wall on Cambridge Street in Alston next week and has invited Hester's family to visit and paint as well. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. I'll catch y'all tomorrow. And if anyone from the Celtics is listening, good luck tonight. Hey, you're a podcast listener, right? Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? I suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just a local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and the arts, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.